First, I want to thank March of Dimes for inviting me to speak here today. I also want to thank someone in the audience, a undergraduate student from Michigan State, Madison Chomsky, who was assisting me in this presentation, and I'm grateful to her assistance. So, first, I'm obliged to tell you that there's no conflict of interest here in this presentation. Dr. Williams spoke about social factors in relation to preterm delivery. So the question we might ask is, are psychosocial factors mediators of some of the race and social class disparities in preterm delivery? And there are many challenges in posing this question. First, there are multiple potentially relevant psychosocial factors that we have to consider. And second, there are counterbalancing elements that influence these measures, and they can be very complex. In addition, there's some other challenges to consider. First, often these conditions co-occur, and there's a spectrum of severity which may produce a heterogeneity of effects. And the most relevant time period may not be clear, and it may not be easy to measure accurately. In addition, there's sort of a lack of agreement in among investigators as to whether self-appraisal of these conditions or stress-related biologic markers or both would really provide the best evidence. In the interest of time today, I'm going to focus primarily on depression and depressive symptoms as an example of psychosocial factors and the potential to link social disparities, as Dr. Williams had mentioned, with the risk of preterm delivery. So depressive symptoms are measured by screening tools. Two commonly used measurements are the CESD and the BDI. But measurement of depressive disorder requires a more extensive diagnostic interview, and often this is not accomplished in large epidemiologic studies, so many of them strictly focus on depressive symptoms. The reported prevalence of depressive symptoms during pregnancy varies, in part due to the population sampled, and also the cutoff used to call it a high score for depressive symptoms. As expected, the prevalence of depressive disorder among pregnant women is considerably lower. Here the estimates are based on a summary across multiple studies from many countries. So examining this hypothesis and the pathways, the first line of evidence that I'd like to build with you concerns the links between social factors and depressive symptoms or depression. Most studies find that poverty measured at the individual level is associated with an increase in depressive symptoms, but many of the studies are cross-sectional and they're harder to interpret. So I prefer to go to the longitudinal studies, and there are some examples here. And I list just a few. One example is the U.S. National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, showing that increase in the ratio of debt versus asset is related to later increase in depressive symptoms. Another comes from the CARDIA study, which you've already heard referenced, showing that decreased income, and these are all longitudinal, so that precedes the finding of later at follow-up increased depressive symptoms. And finally, an interesting Australian birth cohort study, which followed the cohort and looked at repeated measures of low income and found that those that were exposed repeatedly had later increased incidence of depression. When poverty is evaluated at the ecological level instead of the individual level, it gets a little more complex. So sometimes the relation between neighborhood deprivation and depressive symptoms disappears after including individual level income. And this was true in the model of the CARDIA study. So after they accounted for the individual level of low income. There was no residual effect of neighborhood poverty. But there are other examples here in a Canadian study that looked at neighborhood effects, and these effects still persisted even after accounting for individual level effects and were related to an increase in depression. There are also many studies showing that witnessing violence, both domestic and community level violence, can increase depressive symptoms or depression. And a majority of studies with non-pregnant or pregnant populations report higher levels of depressive symptoms in African Americans compared with whites. And interestingly, in a study we did of pregnant women, this, we had them in mid-pregnancy and we measured depressive symptoms and we asked about perceived discrimination. And we found that if we included a total perceived discrimination score in the model, we removed the race difference in the CESD score. And this suggested that some of the race difference in depressive symptoms might be explained by feelings of discrimination. So, given there's considerable evidence of adverse social factors contributing to an increase in depressive symptoms, what about the second half of this pathway? So, here investigators rely on both biological plausibility and empirical evidence to try to understand whether, in fact, this pathway would be something that we should seriously consider. First, I'll turn to some of the biological plausibility. One possibility is that behaviors related to depressive symptoms may affect preterm delivery risk. And this could be directly, or it could be indirectly through other pathways. And the list of depression-associated behaviors can be quite broad, as you see listed here. And it can be challenging because these can be intermittent, and just like depression has episodes and the severity comes and goes, we could imagine that capturing these behaviors could be difficult because they may also come and go. Another consideration is an inflammatory pathway that may link depressive symptoms to preterm delivery. And it's been shown in human and animal studies that a dysregulation of the hormonal stress system, which often accompanies depression, can influence immune system function. However, the reverse is also true, that infection and inflammation can modulate stress hormone regulation. And this makes it very hard to know what is the cause and what is the consequence, particularly when measuring these things in a cross-sectional manner. So again, I think it's helpful to turn to longitudinal studies so that we can see if we can sort out some sort of causal order. And when we do this, most of the longitudinal studies come from non-pregnant populations. And if we look in the Pittsburgh Heart Health Study and the Cardia Study, both show an increase in depressive symptoms at baseline was associated with higher levels of inflammatory markers at follow-up. Here, they use IL-6 levels and CRP levels. However, as we've said, this can go in the reverse, and in the Whitehall study, they actually found the opposite, that at baseline, they start with higher inflammatory markers, and then later on, end up with higher levels of depressive symptoms. So you can see this is not simple. Depressive symptoms may also be related to preterm delivery through maternal vascular function, which in turn would increase the risk if it's hypertensive-related complications that are leading to preterm delivery. So again, turning to some longitudinal studies that look at depressive symptoms and hypertension, most have been in non-pregnant populations, and actually the results are somewhat mixed. So in the Cardia study, there's follow-up of young adults, 23 to 35 years of age at baseline, and they do find that increase in depressive symptoms tracks to later hypertension at follow-up. Whereas in the MESA study, which started with a much older population, 45 to 84 years of age, they did not find this association. Less has been done to look at this question in pregnancy, but there are two intriguing studies, one from Finland and one from Dr. Williams' research team in Peru, and both reported a positive association between depressive symptoms and preeclampsia with an odds ratio ranging from 2 to 3. Hypotheses about a hormonal association between depression and preterm delivery are also very complex, and again, they could go in the reverse direction. So this is a little bit complicated. You gotta orient yourself here. We've got the fetus and the placenta, and then we've got the mom over on the side. And in some instances, maternal depression may be accompanied by a dysregulation of the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis and result in higher levels of cortisol, sort of the stress hormone you've all heard about. And this in turn could lead to an increase in placental production of CRH. CRH is produced in the placenta in very large amounts during pregnancy. And some think that this may contribute to earlier delivery. However, it's also true that pathologic conditions of the placenta can also produce high levels of CRH. And though there's a binding protein, if large amounts of CRH cross over into the maternal circulation, this could potentially alter maternal HPA axis functioning and create depressive symptoms. So again, it's very hard with cross-sectional data to be able to determine what's the cause and what's the consequence here. Finally, there may be an indirect association between depressive symptoms or depression and preterm delivery risk that's due to the maternal use of antidepressants during pregnancy. In a study we did, the combination of a diagnosis of depression before or during pregnancy and also use of the antidepressants, primarily SSRIs, was associated with an increase in medically indicated preterm delivery at less than 35 weeks. However, it was difficult to tease out whether or not the medication use was a marker for the severity of depression, or was it actually independently a risk for preterm delivery. In trying to disentangle this question, one group used a technique known as propensity scores to account for the severity of depression as well as other covariates. And they also concluded that SSRI use in pregnancy may confer some excess risk to preterm delivery. When we look just at the empirical evidence from studies on depression and depressive symptoms in preterm delivery, the results have been somewhat inconsistent. This is a sample of studies in this table, all reporting a positive association. And as typical, all of these studies measured depressive symptoms, not depression. The timing of measurement before or during pregnancy varied. And most considered all preterm deliveries as a single entity. And the effect sizes tend to be about 2, and some go as high as 3.4. But as this table shows, there are also plenty of negative studies. And these negative studies focus primarily on symptoms, though there's one that focuses on depressive disorder. Again, measurement time goes from early to late pregnancy. So these factors can't really explain the differences across the positive and negative studies. The lack of agreement across studies perhaps reflects some of the challenges in addressing this question. First of all, screening instruments cover only a brief period of time, and they may not capture all the potentially relevant windows that we need to understand, including before pregnancy, early, or late pregnancy. Also, there's little agreement on which covariates belong in the multivariate model. So, for instance, is pre-pregnancy weight a confounder, or is it a mediator in this relation between depressive symptoms and preterm delivery? And then finally, something we do have to consider, what is the role of publication bias in the number of positive versus negative studies? And how often do things get written up and published, and how do we weigh the evidence in light of some of this publication bias? And also, what about the heterogeneity of preterm delivery? Knowing that preterm is heterogeneous, should we be looking at it as just one thing? Here I use premature death as an example because it's easier to relate to. We typically subdivide this category to really better understand causes. And the question is, should we really be subdividing preterm delivery, premature death, the way we subdivide premature death, we should be subdividing premature delivery into things like inflammation, vascular complications, to get a better handle on what factors might be associated, including depressive symptoms. So finally, I'd like to return to the complete pathway and ask, what are the implications of the uncertainties that are reflected in the literature on depressive symptoms and preterm delivery? If we want to uncover mechanisms, we'll have to get better at addressing some of the methodologic challenges that I identified here. But in the case of depressive symptoms or depression, the uncertainty doesn't diminish the need to screen and treat women in pregnancy because of the other benefits that might be related to maternal well-being, fetal development possibly, and later parenting. However, the decision about what types of treatment, such as the risk-benefit of antidepressant use in pregnancy, is a major public health concern that urgently needs rigorous studies so that women and providers can make better informed choices. And finally, in the spirit of the theme of this conference, it's likely that addressing upstream social factors will have the benefit of affecting multiple pathways to preterm delivery, including depressive symptoms. Thank you.